is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
We're in your presence. We give you praise.
I'm gonna give you praise.
Lord, we worship.
Lord, we worship.
Jesus. We're in your presence.
We're in your presence.
We give you praise.
We're gonna give you praise.
Lord, we worship.
We're gonna open our mouths and worship.
Your holy name.
Well, this morning, I would like to present to you a little eschatological update with a focus on Israel, with a focus on Israel. One thing that we need to remember, saints of God, is that all end time prophecy in your Bible, all end time prophecy in your Bible is Israel centric. And more specifically, it's centered on Jerusalem. Prophecy in your Bible is not centered on the United States of America. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we think we're Americans, we're the center of the universe. I hate to break your heart, but you're not, honey. Washington, D.C. is not the center of the universe, although sometimes I think whoever sits in that chair thinks they are. But all prophecy is Israel-centric. Now, although many other nations will play a part in the end times, including the USA, even though not specifically mentioned in the Bible, with our upcoming elections, one candidate, one party is extremely pro-Israel, the other one not so much. Now listen, this isn't my opinion. This is not a political speech. I'm just laying out the facts. Who was it used to say, just the facts, ma'am? Was that just the facts, sir? But who was it? Dragnet or something? I don't know. So listen, this Bible is focused from Genesis to Revelation on Israel. Are you following with me? So we have to keep our focus there. When you're watching the news, when you're watching your pundits or whoever you're watching, you have to keep and I teach you this all the time. You have to look at it through a prophetic eye, look at it through a biblical eye. So the parties vary greatly on Israel. And this isn't my opinion. It's fact. Check the record. Listen, when you have the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, makes his first trip outside of Israel since the invasion of Hamas last October, and he comes to the United States of America to a joint session of Congress, and neither the vice president or the president shows up, that should tell you all you really need to know. While their lips are telling you they support Israel, their actions speak quite differently. Unfortunately, most people don't know about their actions. So what you saying, Pastor? Does my vote in November have a bearing on the future of Israel? Does my vote have a bearing on when Jesus will return? So let me boil something down for you here and read you a promise of God. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to jump around the scriptures a little bit, but if you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, this is a promise of God. You could take it to the bank. Here's what it says. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Here it is, right here, verse 3. Don't miss this. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. So let me take that last phrase first. It says, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through the nation of Israel. The Bible that you're holding in your hand or looking at on your phone, who brought that Bible to you? It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was the Jewish people that brought that. All over the world, that Bible has changed communities. It's changed nations. The Word of God has completely changed societies around the world for the good because of this Word, because it came through the Jewish people. Secondly, where did Messiah come from? He came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and down through the lineage, through the line of David, through the tribe of Judah. And he came into the earth. All people, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So our Messiah, our Mashiach, so to speak, has come from the Jewish nation, and the entire earth has been blessed by this Messiah named Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Amen. So now, number one, the Bible says if you bless Israel, if you bless the Jewish people, if you stand with Zion, God will bless you. Now that could be as a nation, or it can also be personally. It's a promise from God. Or on the flip side of the coin, if you curse Israel, if you oppose them, if you protest against them, if you take the side of their enemy, is somebody hearing me this morning in the house of Judah? If you do that, the Bible says God will curse you, be it nationally or individually. Now you could take that to the bank, saints of God. It's God's promise. It's extremely straightforward. Let me throw this little caveat in there. How many of you know the Israeli government is not perfect? Benjamin Netanyahu is not perfect. How many of you know they make mistakes and missteps and do things wrong from time to time? Listen, perfection won't come until Jesus returns. Are you hearing me? That doesn't mean that you even have to agree with everything they do, but I'm trying to tell you, somebody, if you want to be on the side of God Almighty, you better be on the side of Israel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it is without a shadow of a doubt, as a nation, the United States has been abundantly blessed by God due to our blessing of Israel. Starting as far back as 1492. Let me take you just a little stroll down history lane. In 1492 in Spain, the Spanish Inquisition was happening. They were persecuting the Jews. They gave the Jews one of three choices: either convert to Catholicism, move out of the country, or be beheaded. There's your choice. So they began to persecute the Jews. And in August of 1492, when they had the deadline where you either had to move out of the country, there was a little Italian sailor named Christopher Colombo. His original name. We know him as Christopher Columbus. He changed his name, which many believe that he was a messianic Jew. He was a Christian. He was a believer. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and he had Jewish roots. So in 1492, while the Jewish people were being persecuted in Spain, the same day that that happened, the boats left the shore of Europe and came to the Americas. And Christopher Columbus discovered the Americas. Over the centuries, America has been a safe haven for the Jewish people. The only place on earth they were safe here in the United States of America. The Bible says, if you bless my people, what? I'm gonna bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you. And because we blessed Abraham's people, God blessed us. In a little more recent history, in World War II, you know, the war was on the brink of Nazi Germany taking over all of Europe and eventually the world. We'd be speaking German today if they would have won that war. But God raised up the nation of America because his people were being slaughtered. Oh, come on, is somebody hearing me? 6 million Jews were killed by Nazi Germany. But yet God raised up the American army, the American nation, to go over into Europe to fight and turn the war around and thus save the lineage of the Jewish people. Listen, if you bless my people, I will bless you. So here's what I'm saying. There is no other nation on earth that has ascended to the power, to the might, that has ascended to the wealth of the United States of America in just a relatively short amount of time. Historically proven. Why? Because if you bless my people, I'm going to bless you. We are enjoying the fruits of our nation blessing God. So I say all that to say, with a ballot in your hand, you can either bless Israel or curse Israel. Please don't take my word for it, church. I'm not pushing a political candidate. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to study the party platforms. I want you to research the candidates' actions over the years. They have a track record. Somebody say amen. Don't be ill-informed. Don't be uninformed. Be an informed voter. Know what you're doing with that ballot. Come on, somebody in the house. So, preacher, why are you bringing Israel into our election? Here's why. Because I'm a kingdom preacher. I don't preach for the Republicans. I don't preach for the Democrats. Come on, somebody help me. I preach the kingdom of God. And also because the prophet Isaiah said this. Throw this verse up for me. Isaiah 62 and 1. I'm down with Isaiah when he says this. He says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. So I will not be silent for the sake of Israel ever unless Jesus returns or he takes me home. Secondly, I want you and your family to be blessed and not cursed. I want you to stand with Israel. Do you receive that in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Now, will your vote have a bearing on the timing of the return of Jesus? In this grand scheme of things, absolutely not. Somebody say amen. Because the Father already has a predetermined timetable. Listen to this. Don't miss this line. Make no mistake about this, church. It is our God who sets up kings. It's our God who deposes them. Daniel 2 and 21, if you want to go look it up. So I said that to say, if God wants Donald Trump in the White House, there's no amount of voter fraud, there's no amount of media bias, there's no amount of lawfare, there's no amount of assassination attempts that will stop him. Did you hear it? Come on, let's flip the coin. If God wants Kamala Harris in that seat, listen, there is nothing that will stop it. Oh, I wish somebody would shout amen there somewhere. Because our God is in control, somebody. He raises up kings. He sets down the kings. And the Bible states that eventually in the last days, every nation, including the United States of America, they will turn against Israel at some point. Nobody knows when that will happen. Could it be next year? Could it be because of this upcoming election? Because I believe that the U.S. plays a great part in the history and the future of Israel. Could be this year, could be 10 years, it could be 20 years. But that does not mean that we should stop fighting. That does not mean that we should keep silent. That does not mean that we should stop preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, preaching righteousness, preaching holiness and repentance. That does not mean that we should stop standing with Israel. Now listen, listen. I'm not sure whose side you want to be on. But for me and my house, the house of Judah, we will stand for the side of the Lord. We will stand for Israel. Somebody come on and give our God a praise. concerning the end times. The Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament is full of signs, predicted events that precede the coming of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus himself gave us many signs to look for, and he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Church, open your eyes. Research. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Know what the Word of God is saying in Daniel 9 when he talks about the abomination that causes desolation. He says, know and understand this. So God did not give us these signs from cover to cover to be ignorant about them. Somebody help me and say amen. Remember, all prophetic words are Israel-centric. Now, one of the prophetic super signs was in 1948 when Israel once again became a nation. Never before in the history of the world, ever, has a nation completely been dissolved, the people dispersed throughout the world, only to be reborn nearly 2,000 years later. And when they came back, they are speaking their original language. Absolutely miraculous. Never has happened in the history of the world. And Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah 11:11-12, if you could put that up there. This is Isaiah. He says this. He says, in that day. Somebody say that day. He's speaking about the end times, the end of the age, the last era of humanity on earth. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand. Somebody say a second time. A second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people. Then in verse 12, he goes on to say, he will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Now, we know our history. We know in 586 BC, we know that the Babylonians sacked Israel and they took them captive, and they were in Babylon for exactly 70 years as the prophet Jeremiah prophesied. If you read Jeremiah 29:11, I know we'd like to make that personal for my note of plans I have for you. He's not talking about us personally. He's talking about the nation of Israel because he says after 70 years, I'm not even 70 years old yet. I say, Pastor, you look young. Listen, he says after 70 years, I will take you back. I will bring you back in 516 BC, exactly 70 years. We're talking about the accuracy of the word of God. Israel, because of Nehemiah and Ezra, they went back to Israel. They reestablished the nation. That was the first time. But then in 70 AD, the Roman came in and he destroyed Jerusalem again. He destroyed the temple again. And in 135 AD, Israel was the great diaspora. They were spread throughout the earth. So until from that time, from 135 AD, after Jesus, Israel was without a home. But I'm here to tell somebody on May 14th, 1948, our God's word came true. He says, because there's going to be a is somebody getting this morning? There's going to be a second time. I'm going to take you back into your land, not just from one place, Babylon, but from the four quarters of the earth. I'm here to tell somebody the word of God is true, it's perfect, and every T will be crossed, every I will be dotted. Somebody in the house, give our God a praise for his word. So in May 14th, 1948, this is a super sign. Everybody can see it. It's miraculous. This is the beginning of the budding of the fig tree that Jesus spoke about. He said, when the fig tree is about to bloom, you know that summer is near. How many of you know the fig tree is symbolic of Israel? That didn't even exist for nearly 2,000 years. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning or watching by this broadcast that summer is near, honey. Now, there are many prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Many will be fulfilled during the 7-year tribulation period. But the birthing of a couple of these Old Testament prophecies might be being fulfilled right before our very eyes. You read the book of Isaiah in chapter 17, right at verse 1, the Bible says that Damascus will be a ruinous heap. Damascus, Syria, is the longest inhabited city on the face of the earth. The longest inhabited city on the face of the earth. But my God said in his word, Damascus will become a ruinous heap. Still yet to be fulfilled, but there, how many know there's a lot of activity going on in Syria right now? We have the war of Psalm 83, the battle of Gog of Magog in Ezekiel 38. We also have the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16, yet to be fulfilled now. Sometimes when we read about those wars in the Bible, we think it's going to be one war, it's going to end. 5 years later, there's going to be another war, it's going to end. Another 5, 8, 10, 12, 20 years, another war. Listen, this can go from Damascus being destroyed into Psalm 83, into the battle of Gog of Magog, right into the battle of Armageddon. They could just morph right into one another. So they're not necessarily three separate wars or three separate events. Let's take a look at Psalm 83. Watch this now. Watch this. Psalm 83, verse 1. It says, O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Who does God cherish? It's the nation of Israel. Verse 4, come, they say. He spells it out. Let us destroy them as a nation so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind, they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Now, this psalm goes on to list a number of nations that will be involved in this battle. Now, as of today, we're in September 2024. All the nations are not currently involved in the war that's going on in Israel right now. But I'm here to tell somebody, the chess pieces are moving. The chess pieces are moving on the board. And all of that can change very quickly, even as we witnessed just within the past couple of years, the nation of Turkey recently turned against Israel, which had to happen, church, to fulfill Ezekiel 38, the battle of Gog of Magog. Turkey is a chess piece that had to be moved, because Turkey will be one of the nations, one of the primary nations that will attack Israel. We also see this with Iran and Russia growing closer and closer together. Once again, also to fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39, we don't have time to dissect that this morning, but it's going to be Persia, which is Iran, Russia, Gog of Magog, the land, is going to come down and they're going to attack Israel. So we see this today as the geopolitical chess pieces are moving. Iran and Russia are cozying up because Russia needs help fighting in Ukraine, and Iran is supporting them, giving them missiles and rockets and bombs and guns and support. So Russia is cozying up with Iran. Listen, do you see the chess pieces moving? It's happening all around us, saints of God. So in the New Testament, Jesus himself said this. He says it in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. It's the Olivet Discourse, which is actually his longest recorded sermon. He said, among many other signs, there will be wars and what? Rumors of wars. One of the specific signs that Jesus gave us is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, if you could put that up there, please, where it says, Jesus speaking, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Armies mean that there is a war going on. Are you with me, somebody? When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Now, I believe that that's going to happen during the tribulation period, which I believe we'll be raptured out of here by that time, thank God. However, there will be a procession up to that point. It's not like a light switch is going to turn on. That's why Jesus says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Even today, as Israel is fighting Hamas in the south, Hezbollah is attacking them from the north. Now a new conflict arises over in the West Bank, which is actually in the eastern part of Israel. The West Bank is the West Bank of Jordan. It's the eastern part. So right now, Israel is being attacked from the north, the south, and the east. From every side, and they're moving in. They're coming in from all sides. The war of Psalm 83, as well as the battle of Gog of Magog, can certainly morph in to the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16. And then Jesus, somebody, annihilates them in Revelation 19 when we return with him. But we can be watching the beginning of these events right now. Right now. Since Saturday, October 7th, 2023, there has been a global spiritual shift that began with a brutal attack of Hamas on Israeli civilians. That was nothing short of barbaric. See, they won't tell you this on any of the news channels, but video has been released to them, as well as politicians, as well as our military. There's videos of holding their parents while their babies are being raped, making them watch it. Well, you won't hear that on the news, though. Free, free Palestine, because they're good people. They won't show you they bind their parents up as they put them, their babies, in a garbage can alive and light them on fire. See, they won't tell you that on your local news. Let me tell you something, church. Most of the news, vast majority of the news, let me put it that way, is nothing but propaganda. Are you hearing me, somebody? They won't tell you that. They won't tell you that they take the parents and bind them up while they put their babies in ovens and let them bake to death. These videos were sent to all the major media outlets. My question is, where's the outcry? Where are the human rights activists? Do you see the bias? These animals are slaughtering innocent civilian well, you know what? I actually owe the animal kingdom an apology. Because even animals wouldn't do that. Listen, church, this is demonically inspired. They're devils. They're possessed. And hear me, I am not saying that metaphorically, I'm saying that literally. This is a spiritual battle going on, manifesting itself in the natural. So since that day, October 7th, 2023, there's been a spiritual shift globally. Even non-believers recognizes that something has shifted. On that following Sunday, October 8th, I addressed the issue here in our morning service, and I stated, even though America initially came out and supported Israel, for the most part, it wouldn't be long till America began to turn away. Now, I'm not a prophet. I work for a nonprofit organization. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But I study the Word of God. I watch and I pray. And I study the Word of God. It was only a matter of weeks before the protest began, not only here in the USA, but from around the world. This demonic hatred toward Israel was bubbling under the surface all along, and it just took an event to trigger the manifestation. Now it's full-blown, even in our own federal government. Let me tell it to you one more time. It's demonic. These protesters, including the politicians that shout "Free, free Palestine" or "I'm with Hamas," it's demonically inspired. Is somebody hearing me this morning? Listen, there are two groups of people that Satan despises. It's the Jews. And it's you if you're a Christian. Why do you think Iran and all its cohorts shout in their streets while they're burning the American flag, "Death to Israel, the little Satan," and "Death to who?" America, the great Satan. Here's why. Israel is representative of the Jewish people. America, for the most part of our history, is deemed as a Christian nation who has always sided with Israel. There are two groups of people that Satan despises. It's the Jew and it's you. Don't ever forget that, church. Now, you understand that demons influence governments. How else do you explain Adolf Hitler killing 6 million Jews? How else do you explain Mao Zedong or Pol Pot, Stalin, the Caesars? It's inhumane. How else do you explain Hamas burning babies, killing babies, raping babies in front of their parents? How else can it's inhumane? Unfortunately, church, listen. In the end days, it's not going to be any different. It's actually going to get worse. Listen, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. It doesn't give me great satisfaction to preach a message like this, but the church needs to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to watch and pray so that we're not caught off guard. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But there are governments around the earth, they are satanically induced. Let me prove it to you out of the Word of God, Revelation 16. Verses 12 through 14. Once again, just to keep our eschatology straight, Revelation 16 is about a little over halfway through the tribulation period, but the principle applies. Are you following me? Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up." Let me just pause there. For the first time in history, the Euphrates is now dried up. Did you know that? It's dried up. The water has dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Verse 13. "Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouths of the dragon," which is Satan, "out of the mouth of the beast," the Antichrist, "and the mouth of the false prophet." They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out, here it is, to who? The kings of the whole world. That means the presidents and prime ministers and world leaders. For what reason? To gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. So this is demonically inspired. This scripture once again is speaking about halfway through the tribulation period, and we're not there yet. But I just want to show you that there are certain devils that have been and will be released during the end times. And I believe that October 7th, 2023 was one of those times. The speed in which the world turned against Israel. Listen, church, it was a supernatural event. devils can go viral much quicker than any chat or any tweet or any social media platform. Here's a question. Here's a question. Why does the world hate these little group of Jewish people? Why do they loathe them? Why? It's spiritual, saints of God. It's a spiritual war. We're just seeing the physical manifestation of it. Do you realize that our current government, our current administration, that speaking of me and you because we're Americans, whoever's in there, they're representing us. They are funding, or we are funding, both sides of this war. We've sent, listen, hundreds of millions of dollars to Hamas, supposedly as humanitarian aid. However, they use the hundreds of millions of dollars to build rockets and bombs and to buy weapons and to build tunnels. We've lifted the tariffs off of Iran, who's the head of the snake, just over the past couple of years, which has now allowed them to sell their oil worldwide, which has generated billions of dollars that they now in turn use the funds to train Hamas. They fund Hamas, Hezbollah, and the other radical Muslim factions because of United States policy. Iran, Hamas, and the others are extremely overt in their proclamation of shouting death to Israel and death to America. My question is to every politician in America, why would you even give them one penny? Why? They want to kill you. If somebody is blatant and says, listen, I want to kill you, oh, okay, here's a loaded gun. Church, it's delusional. It's delusional. How does Israel, who was brutally and viciously attacked by a bunch of barbarians, then because of their retaliation now become the bad guy? They're now the oppressor. How does that happen? Hamas cries out, Iran cries out, Hezbollah cries out, all these Palestinian protesters cry out, Israel's committing genocide. No, Israel's trying to prevent genocide. They themselves are the victims of genocide. It's in the Hamas charter. In past messages, I've read you their charter. It's black and white on paper. They are determined to eliminate the Jewish people worldwide. My friend, that is the definition of genocide. Their chant is free, free Palestine. Free them from what? Let me read Psalm 83 to you one more time. Throw it up there if you could, Caleb. It says, oh God, do not remain silent. Please, oh God, don't turn a deaf ear. Don't stand aloof, oh God. Look how Hamas and Hezbollah, they're growling. How your foes rear their heads. With cunning, they conspire against Israel. They plot against those who you cherish, the ones you love. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind, they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Judah, we're watching this in real time. Are you hearing me, somebody? The protest slogan, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. Let's understand what they're asking for in this protest, because most of the the moronic protesters at these colleges, they're supposed to be college educated. yelling from the river to the sea, Palestine. They must have failed geography class, because if you ask them what river, they don't even know what river they're talking about. You ever watch some of those interviews or shout from the river to the sea? What sea? Oh, I don't know. The Atlantic Sea? I don't know. It's delusional. The chant from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, is from the Jordan River on the east side of Israel to the Mediterranean Sea on the west side of Israel, meaning they want to wipe out the entire nation. Genocide. These lemmings have no understanding. They have no idea what they're even talking about. Once again, it's in Hamas's charter. It's in writing. And it says right in there, it's non-negotiable. Right now, church, listen, the world, including our own administration, is trying to strong arm Benjamin Netanyahu to sign a ceasefire with Hamas. Remember, Hamas still has, don't forget this, about 100 hostages. Including Americans. You don't hear that much on the news. Where's our government? Hello? That's why Benjamin Netanyahu is in a no-win position with the current hostage situation. If he lets up, ceasefire, we possibly get the 100 hostages back. We don't even know if they're still alive. If he lets up, we possibly get them back. But if he lets up, Hamas will regroup like a cancer and attack again and again and again, killing thousands more of Jewish people. If he continues to exterminate Hamas, the hostages will most likely be executed unless they are miraculously rescued somehow. During their recent negotiations, this just happened about a week ago or so. I don't have the date on it. Hamas executed 6 hostages, shooting them in the back of the head, cold-blooded, while they were negotiating. What kind of good faith negotiation is that? Listen, one of them was an American. Government, where are you? So that's his dilemma. Can you prep that video for me, Caleb? Listen, church, don't be deceived. Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Iran, and the others, they don't want peace. They don't want land. They want to exterminate the Jewish people, and they proudly and publicly state it. They're unequivocal. Why don't any of these politicians take them at their word and believe them? It's because they're delusional. Why? Why do we keep pressing for a two-state solution? Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, who's the head of the snake, they don't want it. Roll the video.
On April 27th, Secretary of State Blinken said that Israel made an extraordinarily generous offer for a hostage deal. On May 31st, Israel agreed to a U.S.-backed proposal. Hamas refused. On August 16th, Israel agreed to what the United States defined as a final bridging proposal. Hamas refused again. On August 19th, Secretary Blinken said, Israel accepted the U.S. proposal. Now Hamas must do the same. On August 28th, that's 5 days ago, Deputy CIA Director said that Israel shows seriousness in the negotiations. Now Hamas must show the same seriousness. I want to ask you something. What has changed in the last 5 days? What has changed? One thing. These murderers executed 6 of our hostages. They shot them in the back of the head. That's what's changed. And now after this, we're asked to show seriousness? We're asked to make concessions? What message does this send Hamas? It says, kill more hostages, murder more hostages, you'll get more concessions. The pressure internationally must be directed at these killers, at Hamas, not at Israel. We say yes, they say no all the time, but they also murdered these people. And now we need maximum pressure on Hamas. I don't believe that either President Biden or anyone serious about achieving peace and achieving the release would seriously ask Israel to make these concessions. We've already made them. Hamas has to make the concession. Thank you very much. Toda rabba lachem.
Listen, saints of God, this is a spiritual war. God's enemies, they do not want peace. They will not be satisfied until Israel is annihilated. Are you hearing me, somebody? This is a spiritual war. Satan himself is behind it, because if he can annihilate the Jews, he will make God out to be a liar, because the word of God states that Jehovah God watches over Israel and he never slumbers or sleeps. The word of God says that as long as the sun, the moon, and the stars are in the heavens, Israel will never cease to exist. The word of God states that Israel is engraved in the palm of his hand. So if God doesn't save Israel, that would make him out to be a liar, and therefore, if he is a liar, your salvation is useless. But I'm here to tell somebody that our God is not a man that he should lie, and every prophetic word will come to pass. I wish somebody in the house of Judah would give our great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a praise in the house. My God. To further prove my point about Satan's desire to annihilate Israel, since Isaac and Ishmael, right? Abraham had two sons. He had Isaac and Ishmael. One is the father of the Jews, Isaac. The other, Ishmael, is the father of the Arabs. Listen to this. Today, there are about 400 to 450 million Ishmaelites, Arabs, in the world today, compared to only about 15 million Jews worldwide. My question is, why the disparity? It's because throughout history, the Jewish people have been the target of extermination. It's because God used them to give us the word. He used them to give us the graphe, the written word. He used them to give us the logos, Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten son, the living word. From the Egyptians to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians to the Romans, from the Spaniards to the Nazis, to the Iranians and all their factions, all of them have tried to eliminate the Jewish people. Oh, come on, Judah. What's my two favorite words? But God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who never slumbers or sleeps, is the defender of Israel. And all who rise up against her will end up in the ash heap of history. Let me wrap it up right here. Let me give you a quick timeline, an overview of events preceding the tribulation period and the second coming of Jesus Christ according to the word of God. First, remember, listen, this is important, that before Jesus Christ returns, there will be the rising of the Antichrist. Antichrist will come first. Jesus Christ will come after to overthrow him. There are still some prophecies that are still to be fulfilled, but they might be filled very, very soon. So watch and pray. Watch and pray. Even as much as Israel is suffering right now, they will suffer even further. Zechariah 12, verse 1 through 5, we thank God for his word. The Bible says, "The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling." That word in the original Hebrew language is to be drunk with hatred. I am going to make a cup that sends all the surrounding people drunk with hatred toward Israel. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. Here it is, church. On that day, somebody say that day. When all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will get a hernia, will rip their guts out, is what the Bible says. Come on, somebody shout that day. On that day, I will strike down every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord God Almighty. I will keep a watchful eye over Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord God Almighty is their God. I wish somebody in the house of Judah would put your hands together and praise the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.